Peter. Good. So yeah, I like to start every event or seminar or workshop I do with a bit of time just tuning in. Just it's really just like a minute or two arriving and settling in a focusing way. And if you're new to focusing, that's fine. You can follow what I'm my suggestions. But it's really just a moment to arrive in the present moment. And you might start that by just getting comfortable. I can see some people adjusting their seats or getting some bare body. So make sure your body's comfortable. And then if you want to close your eyes, you can, or just rest your awareness ahead of you, your vision. But begin to just notice or gather a sense of how you're sitting, the space you're in, particularly maybe noticing a contact. That's really helpful often, just to notice the support of the chair or sofa, whatever it is you're sitting on, and let it hold your weight. And as you do that, begin to also notice the rest of the edges of your body, like your clothes, your skin, just getting a sense of how they feel, whatever position you're in, however it is, just feeling that edge, your boundary. Then noticing also inside the body too, maybe with the breath or just with your awareness. Taking time. How is it inside? Maybe your belly, the chest, throat. How is it in there right now? Whether it's difficult or easy or there's nothing there, it doesn't matter. Focusing is just about being curious. How is it for you? Maybe there's lots of things in your mind. That's fine. So noticing what it's like this just this moment. So I'll leave just another half a minute for you to be curious. And you don't have to be a particular way, you don't have to feel good or bad or peaceful or anything like that. It's just a noticing. And then when you're ready, bringing that to a close. You might move your body a little, your fingers, your feet, or just open your eyes and just take a second to take in this broader awareness. Okay, so welcome to those who've arrived during that. I was just doing a bit of tuning in, arriving. Now I'm sort of going to assume everyone here knows a little bit about focusing. If you don't, I hope it will make sense. And please, for anyone really, please stop me or pause or go or somehow make yourself known. If you're not on video, you'll have to unmute yourself. If you have an important question or something you need to ask, that's fine. So I want to start by just saying a little bit about how dreams and focusing work together, like why are they connected at all. And I'll start by saying something about focusing. So for those of you who don't know maybe much about it, this is one way of explaining it. Focusing is really about giving space to, or finding a symbol, finding some way of describing, you could call that a symbol, how a situation feels in your life. So whatever that situation might be, it might be a difficult, tangled one or something that's going really well. Or if we take time, if we pause, if we sense into the body, we can often have a feel of it, like And then we describe that feeling. Oh, this is like a tree with big roots, or this situation is like, oh, loads of brambles and it's already difficult. So our body, it may not be a visual symbol, they're just examples, but somehow we find a way of describing it as fresh and comes from not just our thought, comes from our whole being. Why make it sound like that's an easy process? Actually, in focusing, that even that can be tricky sometimes. But that's the kind of summary of it. We feel a situation or some topic or theme, and then we gather or we allow a sense of it to emerge. What is it? We try and describe it. The great things about dreams is about, it's kind of like the process in reverse. Like your body, it gives you a symbol straight away about something in your life. Yeah. So you don't even have to search for it. This is why I love working with dreams. You don't have to go, oh, what shall I focus on? Or I'm wondering how I feel, or like, anyway, you can just put all those questions aside because your body has already given you, I say your body, your being, that's when I say body, it's your bigger self has given you a symbol that matches some situation in your life. Now, here's the interesting thing. One of the things about dreams is they can be about very small stories, like a little argument you had with your friend yesterday, or some decision you've got to make, or some uncertainty that you're kind of puzzled about right now, or they could give you a picture or a symbol or a story, if you like, about the whole arc of your life, or even including your ancestors, you know, or some big situation. So they can give, that's the great thing about symbols, is they can hold huge spans of meaning, as well as, in a way, more localized ones too. So sometimes you never know what you're dealing with in a dream. That's why they can be puzzling. Like, is this dream about some job interview I've got tomorrow? Is it about some big path that I need to take? Or something? And it's hard to know until we sink into our body a bit. But yeah, but the point is that they tell us something about our life through stories and through symbols. And one theory, I think it's true, is that dreams come from the body. They come from not your thinking mind, let's say. They come from somewhere else. Where there is a mystery. There are many theories, but let's say they come from the body or the bigger self. Hence why there's such a match with focusing. Jendlin, as developer of focusing, describes focusing as a being at the boundary of conscious and unconscious. Now, what could better describe a dream than that? You know, a dream is you being at this boundary. You know, every night you come into that place of a boundary of conscious and unconscious. So that's why they fit together very well. So I'll just pause there and check if everyone's kind of with me so far, and someone's just arriving. But any questions, or we just carry on? Great. So yeah, we're approaching this boundary, or in a way, the boundary has given us something through every night through a dream, or whenever we remember a dream. So I want to share a few tips about how to work with dreams and focusing, or use focusing to explore dreams. Three or four different tips. And then we will take some questions, and then we'll get, if we're lucky, there'll be some kind of demo. There'll definitely be some kind of demo. So it's a live exploration of a dream. So when we get to that point, I'll say more about it. But I want to give us some tips, and this is really just a few pieces of like some favorite bits that just came to mind from the course I'll be doing next week. And the first one is really about, well, the first couple are really about doorways into a dream. Some people don't know where to start. When they have a dream, or you wake up and you've written down a dream, or you have remembered it well. So what do you do next in focusing? How do you? Maybe it's a very long and complex dream with lots of different bits to it. Well, where do you start? Sometimes there's so much. One way I like to start is just sense or notice what calls or stands out in a dream. Like, what's the most mysterious bit? Like, what really mystifies you? That would be a really interesting place to start a dream. So not the most obvious thing. Maybe what's the most mystifying part? And this kind of inquiry that I'm sort of suggesting is often done after you've sat, you know, and arrived a little bit in a focusing way and settled into your body. You might tell the dream, speak it out loud. Then you would do this bit, just to give you some background. So yeah, sense of what calls out most, what stands out most, what's most mysterious in the dream. The second bit, and this can be a bit challenging, is what's the most difficult or ugly or dark part of the dream, you could say. So this isn't always easy to do, because there's some part of us that might be scared of our dream. So that's something important to acknowledge. If we feel like I'm not sure I want to go into it, that's fine. There's no problem. Just acknowledge that's there. Acknowledge that uncertainty is there, like a part of you, and see what happens next. So it might be that it's like once you've acknowledged it, you can then go forward. If there's a big resistance, then maybe spend time with that. That's fine. But if it's just a little bit of uncertainty or fear, then yeah, you can carry on. And here's why. Here's the interesting thing about difficult dreams, or dreams that are, you might call ugly or icky, or is the strange thing is our dreamer maker, let's call it that, whoever makes dreams, uses exaggerated language. It's language of metaphor. And it's often very exaggerated. You know, someone said to me, if you had the choice of getting someone's attention between sending them a text message or sending them a massive image of like a volcano, which one would get their attention? Well, it wouldn't be a text message, would it? You know, you'd get, oh, right, okay, right. You'd suddenly see the power if you actually wanted to listen. But the big one gets your attention, yeah? So this is why dreams, or why the part of us that makes the dreams, uses these exaggerated language. So often it can be very exaggerated. It might be violent. You know, like, why am I dreaming of battles or killing people or have I murdered someone? Or it's very rich and sometimes difficult metaphorical language that is often exaggerated. And it's a language of metaphor. It's the most important thing here. So it's not always what it seems. You know, sex in a dream, it could just be about some kind of connection. Often you think, oh no, I'm thinking these thoughts about someone else, some of my work or in my office or something. But it's not. It's about some connection with them, most possibly. Or weather, it's about emotions, about perhaps. Or battle, some big battle could be just two parts of yourself. So don't take a dream too literally. It's part of that. So that all came out of looking at the most difficult part of the dream. If you feel courageous enough to do that. But don't go rush past some part of you, feel scared of doing that. That's important. So a little aside here, I just want to say a tiny bit about dream dictionaries or standard meanings that we can come across. And this might happen when you're telling the dream to somebody else. You might say, oh yeah, I dreamed about this. And they say, oh well, yeah, rivers always mean such and such. And that kind of thing always means a journey or this kind of. And they may be true, but from my own experience, it's much more important to check inside. Like when you hear that meaning, or when you tell yourself a meaning, like, oh yeah, this always means that. Does it fit? Is there any sense in which that what you just said sounds true? And if it isn't, then well, just let it go. Your dreams are very particular to you and your life circumstances. All the images and metaphors that you've sort of imbibed over your life, your cultural language, your own scenic language, all of that. So particular and unique, you could never get a dictionary apart from your own one to decipher that. So no one's public meaning is the same as yours. Really important to say that. They might coincide, but don't let it override it. So don't let some popular meaning override what's really true for you. So that was all came out of following what's most difficult in a dream. The third tip. So first one was going with what's most mysterious. Second tip, what's most difficult. Third one, take a piece of the dream. This is really nice because you don't have to do the whole thing either. Take a character. Take a place. Sometimes a dream is about a place. The most obvious thing is a place in a dream. That's like the most intriguing bit of the dream. Take a place. Or take a storyline. So take basically that's about taking one bit and exploring it, one thread. Rather than necessarily trying to understand the whole lot, just take a thread that seems interesting and follow it. It might be a character, it might be a place in a dream, it might be a storyline. So I'll say a tiny bit about more about each one of those. So character, sometimes dream characters in dreams are very vivid. That's the main part of it. Sometimes people say they're a part of you. Maybe that feels true to say it like that. But can you explore them? What do we feel like? What's it like to be in their company? Not what we think of it, but what's our feeling of that kind of person there? Or in your daily life, what does that person mean to you? if it's a person you know. So character is very rich territory in dreams. Again, place. Place is a very, sometimes it's very intricate, isn't it? Amazing what dreams can do. You know, that they create this, like, I often dream of places and other countries and cities, and I'm amazed at the detail, you know, the level of detail that's something that, that can be created. Where, who is doing that? It's so creative. Who is doing that? So, yeah, and they often have a feel to them, a kind of feeling quality. So what is that feeling? Is it a friendly place? Is it a difficult place? Is it familiar? So that will give us clues as to what's happening somehow. And the last one, storyline. I just want to say something about this because this is one of my favorites if it works well. Is sometimes you have a very long, elaborate dream, many phases. But this particular way in, or this particular way of playing with it, is take that whole story and just make it into three sentences. So summarize the whole story, your whole dream, in three sentences. So maybe have some long dream about getting across a mountaintop, and then you get stuck, and then you can't find a boat to the lake, and then it's okay. See if you can do that in three sentences. It'd be like, first there's a way, then I get lost, and then I find my way back. Something like that. And when you say it like that, often you get the meaning of it, right? You suddenly get it. Because it's like giving a big summary of the whole thing. So stories, so it doesn't always, not always so neat. Sometimes you only have a fragment to work with. But if you do have a story, try that. Three simple sentences. And there's this magic invitation we'd use for any of those, which is my final tip, really, which is like you would evoke a piece of the dream, a character or a place or a story, and then just invite inside, what in my life feels like this? So what in my life feels like this? So really, you're really inviting the metaphor to come forth really there. What in my life feels like this? So what in my life feels like a journey through mountains? What in my life feels like a tangled sort of, I don't know, bramble bush or something? Because, yeah, the dream is a metaphor for some part of your life. So that invitation can work really well. What in my life feels like this? So, yeah, to summarize, so those four tips are what calls or stands out, what's most mysterious, what's most difficult. Take a piece of the dream, like a character, a place, or a story, and then invite what in my life feels like this. So I'll pause there. I said quite a lot. Maybe there's questions. Any questions about dreams generally, I'm very welcome to have. How focusing. But so I'll just open up for a little bit. Let's get a drink of water, and then we'll do a demo. Yeah.
Last question, right? I wouldn't say I have a lot of dreams. Is that something? Is it that they're there and I'm not conscious of them? Or, you know, is that something that you can cultivate and figure out what's going on behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Or is it just some people are more likely to have dreams than others?
It's not a simple answer to that question, but one thing I do know is you can cultivate a relationship with dreams, like any relationship, if you don't pay attention to them. Or if you don't give them much awareness, then they tend to kind of they don't come to you. So the more you pay attention to dreams, even if it's just like a fragment, or how do I feel when I wake up? It may not be a dream remembered, but you might have a feeling of what is it like to wake up. So begin to pay attention to that bit of one's life, even if it's just the after effect of it, and then that's from my experience, and they begin to come forth a little bit more. I mean, there are techniques for remembering dreams. You know, some people set their alarm earlier, or set their alarm, you can go back to sleep easily. But if you're somebody who can go back to sleep, set your alarm in the middle of the night, and then, or maybe early in the morning is better, like 4 or something, because you'd have longer dreams, and then see if you remember it, see if something comes. Mm. But the basic principle is the more you pay attention, the more they come forth over time.
As you become more aware of them, would that the idea be your sleeping pattern would improve? Would that be a natural consequence of that?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Maybe, but I mean, but certainly more you the more you're aware of that language, the more it would I guess the more you'd kind of get from that relationship, you know, you'd understand more about yourself or what's going on. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. Great. Thanks.
Thanks. So someone else had a question. It was it Nadia?
Yes, I have two questions.
Okay.
The first one, is the course suitable for people who has problem to sleep?
Ah.
For sleep.
Yeah.
And the second question is, the course suitable for people who dream something and then next day they find the dream come true?
Oh,
I have an incident about my daughter. She dreamt about something and in the morning she talked to me about it. And in fact, I was doing the same thing that she's describing.
Yeah.
Is that her... I know that the mind, our mind, can think beyond our bodies. I mean, can expand.
Sure,
she expanded her awareness to see what I am doing in the night. I was closing the door. I'm sure that nobody still saw me last at that time. Mm-hmm. But when she described it exactly the way I did it. And she described what will happen next, and it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, carry on.
No, that's all. I have two questions.
So two questions. One was, if is a dream, is it about the course, really, wasn't it? About the dream's course coming up. Yeah. Could it be okay if I save those questions to the end? Because I want to talk about the course. Yeah. Is that all right? But I will make a note because so suitable for people with sleep difficulties. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or insomnia.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And the other one was about this example of your daughter. Okay, I'll come back to that. Great, thank you. Just because I want to make sure I get the demo done. If anyone else, questions about? Great. Okay. And there'll be some chance for questions as well at the end. So here's a $1 million question. Was there anyone who has a dream, who has a dream or a part of a dream, or it could just be a fragment of a dream?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Who's that?
I was trying to say something earlier, but I didn't know.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't know I had to press this button here.
Ah, good. Okay. So do wave if you're on video, then I can see you. But yeah, please.
I did wave, but you didn't see me.
Oh, hello. Please, carry on.
It's all right. No. No, I just wanted to ask you something. That's just occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me, but it's about a friend of mine who had several sort of very traumatic experiences a few years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, well, I don't know what happened with his dreams before these traumatic experiences, but since then, he has a lot of trouble with his dreams. He says they're terrible and he can't stand it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he doesn't want to remember them. They're so awful. He just wants to forget about them, and he sort of tries not to remember his dreams and tries not to dream and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I find it quite upsetting because I feel sure that this is not helpful for him. But I don't really know. I mean, I don't suppose that, I mean, it's, you know, not even about me. It's about a friend of mine, but yeah, I don't know what to do for the best. I want to encourage him to remember his dreams and sort of work with them in the hope that he will be able to work through some things.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, if he's not willing to do that, that's not going to happen. But I'm just afraid that, well, you know, it's not good, is it?
Well, no. It sounds difficult situation, you know. And I suppose what comes to mind is, isn't it, PTSD or any, or in that spectrum, let's call it a spectrum. Really, people do have, you know, nightmarish dreams, or kind of what comes back to them at night is a manifestation of PTSD, and it's more complicated than the kind of dream work I've been talking about.
Mm.
Because then you're dealing with a sort of a kind of person or a sort of system that's a bit out of balance that needs a lot of safety brought in and the nervous system calming down and needs a whole other set of ingredients, as well as maybe dream work at some point, perhaps could be interesting. But it's kind of, yeah, I wouldn't say that would be the first step necessarily to working, you know, if the dreams are really hard to be with.
Yeah, they are nightmares. Yeah. It's like nightmares all the time.
Yeah.
So focusing wouldn't be suitable for something like that.
Focusing on the dreams straight off, probably not. I don't know. Is that, I guess? But focusing in general maybe is a way of cultivating more safety in the body. But maybe even before that, maybe something. You know, focusing isn't the best thing for everything, I wouldn't say. Mm. But somehow creating safety and you know, our ability to rest and have sleep is such a fundamental sort of sign of safety. And if we're struggling with sleep on some level, there's something disturbing our being. We need to do something about it. But focusing might not be the first thing. It could be other methods too.
No, he does sleep okay. He sleeps better than I do.
Oh, okay. It's the dreams that are troublesome.
It's just the dreams.
Okay.
Well, life in general troubles him, to be honest.
Okay, right. Yeah. But yeah, if you're not, definitely have to be up for willing to look. Maybe that's a general point that we'll end on there. If you have to be up to looking, and if you can't, if that's not there, then I guess some other step is needed beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Good. Okay. I'd like to do a demo. So just to say a little bit about that demo. This could be a dream or a fragment of a dream, like just a little image from a dream you've had recently. Maybe something recently is easy to work with. And 6-year-old is hassling me. Every time I do these seminars, my boy seems to know exactly when I'm doing them. So anyway, if you hear noises in the background, that's him. So yeah, it could be a dream fragment, or it could just be a theme, like a recurrent theme of a dream that you can describe. Could be a full dream you remember. So I'm realizing it's a slightly intimidating situation, perhaps, in a group. Everyone's kind of looking in certain ways. Not an easy thing to ask, but is there anyone who wants to do a demo and who possibly knows a bit of focusing that would make it a bit easier? I'm willing to try anything, but anyone? Oh, there's someone there. Kyla. Great.
Here we are.
Ah, great.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you find me?
Yes, great. Yeah. So everyone else be on mute, just to say a little bit technically. We'll just do like a flexible 10 to 15 minutes together, if that's all right. If it's more or less, or
yeah.
Could be less than that if you want. I don't mind, but up to that.
That's fine.
And can I ask, have you done focusing before at all?
Just did an introduction course.
Great. Okay, so now a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Wonderful. Okay. And just a last technical thing. I'm recording the call. Do you want? Shall I turn this bit off for the recording? You okay? No, okay. Or you can decide afterwards if you let me know. It's fine.
Okay.
Great. So everyone else here, just a chance to observe and in a kind way to see what it's like to explore a dream. So Kyla, you have a dream to offer, or dream fragment, or something?
Yeah, it's sort of a recurring thing that goes on for me. But there was one sort of, I can describe the last time it happened.
Okay.
And it's sort of I'm walking along and there was a man behind me. And although he didn't seem to be posing any threat, and it was an ordinary street, I just knew that he was going to attack me.
Yeah.
And it was an empty street and I couldn't find anybody. And I was desperately trying to scream. Yeah. And this is what's occurring in different sort of scenarios, is that as I'm trying to scream, there's no voice.
Yes.
I'm desperately, desperately trying to find a voice. And I'll wake myself up with that sometimes. And I'm just, you know, when I have woken myself up, it's just like with a very quiet murmur, or, you know, this I'd expect to wake up screaming, but I don't. It's quite a muffled noise then.
Yeah.
That feeling of not being able to find that scream or that you know, raise an alarm is the thing that really sticks with me.
And that's so I'm getting a bit of an echo here. Can everyone hear that? Sorry, technical moment. Can you hear the echo? Oh, it's gone. Okay, good. Okay, so if it's all right, I'll make some invitations around exploring that theme. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Great. So sort of if it's okay, sort of holding that kind of recent but also recurring dream there for a moment and just checking in with like how your body is, letting it be supported by what you're sitting on.
Mm.
You don't have to close your eyes, that's fine. Just somehow have your attention kind of resting ahead of you.
Mm.
Or maybe checking. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. No, just immediately I can feel like a fluttering.
Yeah. In
this part of my sort of chest and throat area. And almost like that's funny, almost like I've been talking too much and my vocal cords or something have been used too much, but by here on my chest rather than in my throat.
As your hand is just noting what it feels like freshly. And you mentioned that something might be connected to your speaking too much, but checking if that fits, or maybe it's connected to a dream or just being here in this situation, but just keeping company there and see what happens next, see what more comes.
Just the fluttering is getting more pronounced than just being with that.
Yes,
It was like a pressure on there.
So fluttery and a kind of pressure there. So yeah, checking how it is to just keep that company.
Just noticing the resistance of wanting to stay with that.
Right, yeah. Sure, some part of you isn't sure or resist staying with it. Yeah.
Sort of just noticing part of me sort of wandering off.
Yeah, that's right. That's often how we feel it, isn't it? We wander off. Yeah. So yeah, inviting you to acknowledge both. There's that feeling there, fluttery and a bit pressured, and then the sort of I don't want to be here wandering off. And they're both welcome. It's both fine to be here.
And now sort of a dragging feeling down from here, down from my throat into my chest.
So that comes now, some sort of dragging sense in your throat.
I'm just feeling quite surprised at the amount of pressure I'm feeling right here. So I'm
take a moment there to feel that breath and move a little. Sounds like it feels quite strong.
Yeah. Just trying to stay with it with curiosity rather than feeling quite frightened of it.
Okay, yeah. That sounds like some part of you is a bit scared of sort of being with it or sensing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So almost like something sitting on my chest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm inviting you to acknowledge both there. That there's that feeling there that's strong and something that's scared of looking at it or feeling it or something. And we can keep company with both, just have them both. We don't have to go past this point or rush past anything.
But yeah, sort of feeling I smile because I always find it quite magical and very weird how once you give both space it sort of dissipates.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Feeling quite lighter already.
Yeah.
But just noticing when I do talk that fluttery feeling is still there.
Yeah. So it eases a little as you acknowledge both, and it come as you speak. It comes a little bit back or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But much more sort of. I was going to say acceptable came into my head then, but I don't think that fits.
Right.
Comfortable, perhaps. It's much more comfortable now. That fluttering is. Like it was when it began, just the sense of it not being comfortable, like the pressure I was feeling on my chest.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of easier to have it there, somehow more comfortable, yeah.
Yeah.
So you might, maybe just take a moment just to check in also with the dream again. Like, is there something that wants to come from that in these last few minutes, or maybe. Maybe not, that's just a possibility.
Maybe it was coming in, and I don't know whether this is just coming from my head. It's just that I want to be heard, I suppose. I think it's I don't want to be frightened to speak.
Yeah, okay.
Perhaps.
So checking it back as I say it, like you don't want to be frightened to speak. And maybe that gets it a bit, or maybe there's something more.
That when you say that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I hear that.
Yes.
Yeah, and something about muting myself, not wanting to be caught in that anymore.
Yeah, right. Yes. Really not wanting to be caught in that. Yeah. So there was more there. Carry on.
No, I just noticing the irony of that, and I was the first to volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that noticing that too. Parts of me that the one that really wants to be heard, and then the one that's frightened about speaking.
Yeah. So both there, one that wants to be heard and one that's frightened of speaking or doesn't want to for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just coming up to the last minute or so. So it's an opportunity just to, I guess, acknowledge what's come. Maybe there's more there that wants attention that you can come back to later.
Yeah.
And just, is that an okay place, stopping place for now?
Yeah, that feels good. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. And I guess I encourage you to stay, to sort of stay with it a little, or maybe after the call, or check in with yourself how it is in there, if that feels right. Because sometimes the process isn't finished, especially with a short session. So.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks for volunteering. Great. So I'll just mute you and then I'll just go back to the group. Yeah. Lovely.
Thanks.
Okay. So we'll just take, let's say, about 5 to 10 minutes exploring that. So a couple of points of how we're going to do that, because, you know, it's someone's kind of private and personal session. So I'm inviting questions really about the process rather than about the content. So, or rather about sort of going into, exactly the story. If possible, yes. So questions really about, like, about the kinds of invitations I might be making, or the kinds of things a focuser does with a dream, or so more sort of the process of it rather than the content. If we can, if we do have to refer to the content, check in with, I guess, Kyla, or me and Kyla first, so if that's all right, if it has to refer to it a bit. But there may be questions that come out of that about anything about focusing, really, but about focusing with dreams, about what I was doing or not doing. Very happy to hear anything, so off you go. You can also type your question. So I didn't mention at the beginning, there's a little chat box. And if you click chat at the bottom of screen, opens up at the side, and you can chat to everyone or just chat to me, and I can make, you can make it private too. So you can be anonymously, if you wish, send comments too. Hey, Matt. I'll unmute you. There we go.
Just wondering how much you sort of refer back to the dream. I saw you do that at one point later.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Is that a feature of working in this way with
dreams? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's focusing with dreams is a little bit different than say focusing otherwise. It's hard to describe how. I think it's generally a little bit. You can be a bit more interactive between the listener and the focuser. Or a scope for that, let's say, and scope to do that kind of reminding, just to kind of keep it connected to the dream somehow. But I would, it's not unusual. I would make that kind of suggestion, just to kind of, I mean, it doesn't really matter if it isn't. It doesn't really matter what comes when we sense it to the body. But yeah, it seems to be a helpful thing to kind of keep checking, because the dream is the kind of reference point, really, in the process. Like, that's the bit we know that's true. In a funny way, the symbol or story or whatever it is, like, okay, so we have that, so you can check back in with it. Okay, does it matter? Does what I've just felt have any connection to it? Is it about that? Or sometimes we don't know. Sometimes, of course, it doesn't. We can't feel a connection. That's okay. But check in with it. Yeah, is it good? It seems to be helpful.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, good question. And it might be another thing that might happen in that kind of process is with a longer part of the dream, you might just pause it and just, okay, let's work with this bit of the dream. And then you might focus with it a bit, and then you work with the next bit and focus a bit. And so you can break it down into pieces as well. Yeah, great, thanks. Anything more? I've got a couple of, oh yeah, Lynn, I'll just unmute you. Hi. Can you hear me? Can we hear you? Oh, we can't hear you. For some reason, you can chat the question if you want. So while that, if you are you typing, Lynn? Yeah, okay. While that's coming through, someone else can ask. I've got a couple of points to say. So maybe I'll start there. I suppose it might be, and again, I don't want to make assumptions, but it might be an example of that, what I was talking about, exaggerated language. And when I say exaggerated, I don't mean to make that kind of sound like judgmental or something, or like it's not good or okay. That kind of dream, you know, and if it's recurring, so recurring dream is great in the sense of recurring dream. It's like somebody, you know, it's knocking and it knocks again the next night and it knocks again the next night. So it's kind of, it keeps, so that it's like you can tell someone wants attention when they keep knocking. So it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll turn around and listen, you know. So the fact that it's recurring is can really point to something that needs attention. So that's one thing to say. Yeah, the other thing to say is about this, yeah, possibly this exaggerated language where there might be a lot of fear, might be a sort of quality of the dream, or we don't want to look, you know. Anyway, it's like body saying there's something we want to see, but also we don't want to see. It holds both in there. You know, so it uses a strong image to tell us something about the dynamic we're in. Yeah, so it can make us feel most frightened, but like what happened in the session, when you acknowledge that that's there, acknowledge that we're scared, acknowledge that we're not sure about looking at it, often it gets easier. It's a strange thing. Acknowledging it in that bodily way. Yeah. So the question's come through. So is that all right if I recite, just tell everyone that, Lynn? Yeah. I wondered how Kyla felt when you offered her space to focus. Did it feel like the length of time was helpful, as it really felt like it gave her a chance to really focus? Do you mean generally that invitation to focus? Or so I'll read that again while that comes out. I wondered how Kyla felt when you offered her space to focus. Did it feel like the length of time was helpful, as it really felt like it gave her a chance to really focus on the bodily sense of the dream? Yeah. So that one's for you, Kyla. I'll unmute you. There we go.
Yeah, really important, because it gave me space. Well, I wasn't able to ignore what was going on in my chest, and that felt like a really good springboard, I suppose, for that exploration.
Yeah,
taking that few moments, or however long it was, just to stay with it and not have to talk through what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Great, thank you, yeah. And on that note, sometimes that's all we wake up with. We don't wake up with a story from a dream. I'm sure you've all had this experience. You wake up and think, whoa, I really dreamt last night. I don't know what it was, but you have a feeling in your body. You're left with the felt sense of it, or some kind of hangover, if you like, or something that's left there. So that can be a place to focus. Like in that similar kind of way. Okay, can you describe it? What's it like? Is it a, you know, I ask myself really, really silly questions. Like, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Do I like it or don't like it? To get some feeling about it. Like, what is this? And that gets you on the way. Like, is this a yucky feeling or a nice feeling? Sometimes it's just the most obvious things can get us started, and then we can explore and be curious. What is that? And sometimes that can actually open up the memory of the dream even. It can bring us back that. Yeah. So any more questions? We've got a chance for a couple more. Then I'll say something about the course. Hi.
I suppose I'm just wondering, right? Because I know Kyla, I was on a focusing course with her, so I know she has a bit of experience in a more general form of focusing, I suppose, rather than specific to dreams.
Yeah.
So I suppose with your course, does it go back a bit more general to basics? I suppose this is just for everyone. Does it assume some knowledge of focusing language and listening, I suppose, and communicating through focusing?
Yeah.
And build up towards the kind of interaction you just had with Kyla. Is that the way it works? Or
yeah, it assumes some knowledge of the course assumes some knowledge of the basics of focusing. It doesn't have to be a lot, but as long as you know kind of roughly how to focus and how to, you know, it's even more important how to know how to listen to somebody respectfully in that way. If you know that, you know, a little bit of focusing, then that's kind of my starting place. And sometimes I might come back to some basic focusing bits in that in the themes that emerge from dreams. But really, we'll be looking at some very particular things around dreams. But yeah, we'll definitely, you know, touch in on what was whatever's needed with the people who turn up. You know, also if there's a bit of basics to be brought in, that's fine. We'll have time for that too, because they're small courses. So assuming the starting point is a little bit of knowledge, and then working with dreams, but we can go back a bit if that's needed.
Okay.
Thanks. And there's one more question here from Sophie. Would you always try to hold all the feelings, or would you follow a strong one? Okay, at one point in the demo, Kyla was talking about a curious bit and a bit that was scared. In the end, holding both seemed to create space. Yeah, I definitely always recommend for holding all of it, if you like, or not ignoring some side of it. Often we take a side, don't we? Some people love the scary places, you know, and they kind of like go straight in there. So it could be the other way around, you know, like they're, and they kind of ignore the parts of them that are a bit that might hold back a bit or something for other reasons. But yeah, if there's more than one part there, if you want to look and you don't want to look, acknowledging both is so important. So because if you like this, how do I put it? You know, our inner listener, this kind of part of us, or not part of us, this process in this that some teachers call presence or self and presence, this big you that it can listen to all of you. Listen, it doesn't take sides. So, in that sense, acknowledging all the different sides of what's coming in a focusing session, whether it's about a dream or anything, is really important. We don't push one bit aside thinking that's not important. Whatever that might be. And it does, it creates space for something more to happen. It's very important. And on this note, I just end with another thing I didn't say about, sometimes the really mundane parts of dreams are really, really interesting. The bits we do ignore normally, like, oh, I always dream about putting the rubbish out. Or like, I always dream about, you know, we have these terribly boring dreams sometimes, or seemingly boring dreams, boring. They can be the most rich places to explore in focusing. Because it's like we've ignored them for years and years and years, these sort of storylines, but they can be really rich territory. So I guess it relates to this. It's about including it, bring it into awareness. Great.
Talking of which,
yeah.
That lady asked a couple of questions at the beginning. Were you going to
answer? Yeah. I will do. Yeah, great. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, great. Well, this is good. This is a cue for talking about the course. So the answer to the second part of that question, which is about dreams that might somehow say what about the future, or have predicted the future anyway. Well, my course doesn't address that. If that happens, that's actually, I've never experienced that, but I guess it's very welcome. All experiences are welcome, but it's not something we particularly explore on the course. But yeah, I mean, we are connected in ways we can't understand. So with our head, you know, so who knows what's happening there. The other part of the question was if it's okay for people with sleep difficulties. I guess, you know, I won't be inviting people to deliberately disturb their sleep through getting up and putting alarms on. If you want to do that, you can. But I would allow, I guess, invite you to sense what would feel right in that. As long as you've got some dreams to remember, this is a great thing about doing the course over a number of weeks. Often I do this course at a weekend, and then it's like you've got two nights to have dreams. And if you don't have one, you've got, you know, no material to work with. Well, over a course, you've got like whatever it is, how many nights? Seven nights, six nights between each course evening for some material to come. And as I said before, the more you listen, the more it comes. So you'll find that it starts to come back to you. But it might, you know, it does disturb my sleep a little bit when I do these courses, in the sense of I'm more interested in my dreams and I'm like, quick, I must write it down. I'm up in the middle of the night writing. So, you know, if that's really difficult for you, then it could be a bit tricky, but a little, you know, it doesn't always work out like that, but it might get you more interested in dreams and therefore be more wakeful, I suppose. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, Nadia, but that's those. So just a little bit more on the course. So it does start next week, Wednesday, this in 1 week's time, 7:15 to 9:15, 5 weeks. We take a theme each week. It might be like characters 1 week, or the storyline another week, or the most difficult part of a dream another week. How to get next steps from dreams. Lots of different themes we'll be exploring. There'll always be a demo working with somebody. It'll either be me working with somebody or somebody else. And there'll always be time for focusing in pairs. So it's quite spacious in that way. Lots of exploration, experiential part of it too. That's the heart of it. The maximum is normally like 7 people or something. You know, it could be small as 4 to 7 people. So there's quite a lot of time for participants to get to ask questions and get involved. So that starts next week. You can book on my website or just contact me directly, and I can tell you how to book. As I say, you do need a bit of focusing experience beforehand. If you're really keen and haven't got that, I could possibly even do that beforehand, a bit of a kind of crash course in focusing before then. It would be a bit tight, but it's possible. Or but if you want to brush up before then, that's possible. There's one more question here coming through on the chat. I'll come back to that. But before I come to that, just any more general question, any more questions about the course that's starting next week? Yeah, hi. Oh, Kyla, I'll unmute you. Oh, yeah, yeah. You unmute you. Yeah.
Is this a course that you repeat sort of over the year? Only because I'm on holiday for 2 weeks during that 5 weeks. So if you
I normally do it once a year. So I guess it is a quick question about is it possible to miss like a week? Well, it's possible to miss a couple of weeks, admit, but it's might disrupt a bit. But people do catch up weeks sometimes as well, like they get the material and they follow it up. So it's not impossible to miss that much, but yeah, and I'll be doing it again next year sometime.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So there's Matt, question there.
Just on a practical level with this forum, how does focusing in pairs work? Do you do that pair off like you would
in person? Yeah, there's a kind of feature of this Zoom setup is you can pair people off. This is called breakout rooms. So basically we can do it randomly, or I set people up together to work in pairs. And once I press go, you kind of takes about half a minute and you just end up in a little room with just you and another person or it's all three or whatever we set up. So it's quite neat like that. And then you get a minute's warning to come back to the whole group. So it fits quite well. So you just stay on Zoom really. That's all done through Zoom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. So one more question, my last question. I don't want to lift this is from Sophie. Would you focus on one feeling separately and focus on body felt sense when focusing? Would you ever get to dialogue independently of you, e.g. the curious bit talks to the fearful? Generally what I say is, in this situation, don't let parts of you get into discussion because it can go on endlessly, you know. Some part, no, I've got the best idea. No, I've got the best idea. No, you shouldn't do that. Yes, you should. No, you shouldn't. They don't really feel it. You're the one that can listen to them. Yeah. So your big you is the one that would be like, okay, you tell me. It's like children squabbling. I mean, that's a bit of a trite example in a way. It's more complicated, but let you be the listener to both of them. So maybe some parts of you scared and some part of you hates that bit that's scared. You have them both turn towards you, and you listen to both of them independently, or sort of give each other time. Rather than, you know, you might notice what they're chatting to each other, but in the end, really, don't let it go on too long. Just get them to talk to you. Although, the quality of curiosity isn't always, can be a quality of that bigger you, if you like. So it isn't always a part. If you see, it could, even though we might describe it like that. So it's interesting. But either way, yeah, let kind of you be a listener to all of your feelings, all of the things that come there, all the parts that come. You be a listener to it, which is great. In a way, it's what dreams are about. We become a listener to all the different parts that come in the dream, the stories, the characters, the places. So that's, yeah, we're out of time for the call. This is going to be, I'm going to be putting this on my website. Usually I just put the audio on. So that'll go up on my website later today or tomorrow morning. And feel free to share that. And as I say, do.
Manju?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Just the last few minutes, I haven't really been able to hear you. I don't know how it's been for other people, but your face is frozen on the screen and audio has stopped.
Okay, that's a shame.
Just over the last few minutes.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe that's gone. So, yeah, maybe the internet got funny. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying I'll put it on my website to share and we may have lost some of it. But yeah, so I'm going to sign off now. So see some of you in the future. So bye for now. You can unmute yourselves if you like. Say goodbye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Nice to meet you, Sarah.
Oh, hi. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.